either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamu ala ibadihi allazina astafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qala la tathriba alaykum al-yawm yaghfiru Allahu lakum wa huwa arhamur rahimin. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, when Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam had informed his brothers of his identity and that he is Yusuf who they had betrayed, he is that Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam that they were plotting against. And obviously the brothers had to put their face down. But Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was the Nabi of Allah, of lofty character. And immediately he said to them, قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ, that there is no blame for you today. There is no blame for you today. There is no reproach for you. My heart is completely clean for you. La tathriba. There is no blame for you today. I forgive you. Yaghfirullahu lakum. And I also pray that Allah will forgive you. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin. And He is the most merciful. Now in this one line, a very important lesson is given to the people of Iman. The Quran is a book of guidance. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm is teaching the ummah that when you are going to forgive someone, then make sure you are sincere. There is no grudge. Sometimes what happens is that you will say, okay, maaf, I forgive you. And 60% you want to forgive and 40% you still have that grudge. And this does not work. La tathrib actually means that 100% your heart should be clean. If you actually say to someone, you know what, I forgive you, you must mean it. That 100% my heart is completely clean. This is very, very important. If everyone was to practice this, alhamdulillah, without a doubt, my respected brothers, everything would be made very, very easy. And then, just to support his statement, he also said that, I also pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Allah will also forgive you. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin. This is to show that I am 100% committed by myself. That when you come and see me, don't even think of the past, because I have completely deleted that. 100% there is no grudge inside me. We need to understand that there are two things we have to remember. One is hukukullah and one is hukukul ibad. Hukukullah are the rights of Allah. So the rights of Allah, if we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah can forgive and Allah will forgive because He is very merciful. But hukukul ibad is something that we have to be very, very careful about. Hukukul ibad means that something that is in concern with your fellow Muslim brother or your fellow human brother, and there are certain rights that you might have violated, and in that you are in the wrong. So this needs to be sorted out in this world. This is something very, very important. Otherwise, what will happen? On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik of that day. Maliki yawmiddin, He is the owner of the day of judgment. And anybody who has been wronged shall be given justice. And so we have to be very, very careful that if there are any issues in this world, then we should sort it out amongst ourselves. We should deal with it and go and meet that individual and say, look, this is a lapse on my behalf, or this is the difficulty that I am facing. What is the solution? What can we do? Subhanallah, all of these things we don't realize because our life is running very, very smooth and we think that nothing is happening. But in the background, everything can be piling up. Everything can be piling up. Just a sin that you can't even detect, which is backbiting. And you are backbiting and you are talking about somebody. You don't even realize it. But subhanallah, that is registered and that is recorded. And you don't know that this individual on the day of Qiyamah will take you on task for this. So that is why the Quran is telling us very clearly, here we see that between the brothers, the matter was settled. Between the brothers, the matter was settled. How many issues today the Ummah faces? Especially in inheritance. Siblings fighting one another, that person taking this, that person, that boy taking this, sister taking this, and some people depriving some of something that is lawful. And subhanallah, all sorts of things. You have taken qarz and you have no intention also to repay. All of these things are very, very wrong, my respected brothers. Our mu'amalat, our dealings should be very, very transparent and very, very clean. So that alhamdulillah, when we depart from this dunya, you know, our records show that everything is entirely transparent and clean. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Now, sometimes you might end up in a situation that you can't even remember certain names of individuals that might want to take something from you, that you might have done something wrong to them, and or you owe something to them, you might not even know. And so some of the scholars have given us one easy solution, which is not a guarantee, but a healer, that possibly by doing this, that person will show mercy. That sometimes what you can do is read 2 rakats nafal namaz. Read 2 rakats nafal namaz and give the isale sawab, give the sawab of your 2 rakats to those people who you think possibly on the day of Qiyamah could take you up and ask from you your deeds, take you on task. So you can say, Ya Allah, this sawab is given to those whose hukuk I have not fulfilled, whose rights I have not fulfilled, and maybe I can't remember, but let them have that sawab. Or you give a bit of sadaqah on their behalf. Or you read 4 kuls and you give sawab to them. Or any good deed that you do and you make isale sawab to them. And what will happen on the day of Qiyamah, when everybody there will be wanting good deeds and nafsi, everybody will be talking about that, When this brother realizes that, you know, if I want, I can take deeds from him, but in his lifetime, I've received also thawab and good deeds from him as Isa alayhi thawab. So he will also be embarrassed that he has given me deeds. How can I also take away from him the deeds? And so hopefully, because of that situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in his heart that he should forgive you. He should forgive you. So this one amal is also very, very important. Do isale sawab. Give sadaqah, pray your nawafil namaz, or, you know, nafal tawaf, or whatever, anything that you do, and you make that sawab to those who possibly will be standing in the line against you. That these are the things that we require from him, and he did not repay us in the world, so we will take his deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us from this. So here we see, the Quran is teaching us, when you say, I forgive, you mean it, because we are not hypocrites. So we forgive for the pleasure of Allah. Thereafter, we are never to taunt them. Thereafter, we are never ever to taunt them. You forgive somebody. Now, the word la tathriba has been used by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see in the seerah that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he entered the city of Makkah, as someone who is victorious, a victor, mashallah, and the people of Makkah were defeated, and the entire army of the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah Mukarrama, obviously the people of Makkah were very, very scared. And they were thinking that today they will see great bloodshed. These were the people who had looted, plunged everything that was in the possession of the companions, had stolen things, had demolished the buildings, forced them to leave Makkah Mukarrama. And every wrong the people of Makkah did with the Muslims, everything that you can imagine. That is why, my respected brothers, what is happening now in the modern world, don't think that it is only happening to us. It has happened also in the past. It has happened in the past, but always remember, alhamdulillah, victory is always for the people of Iman. People came and subhanallah, they left. The Mongols came with a mission, we will wipe out Islam completely. That is what they wanted. We will wipe out Islam completely. The people of Makkah, that is what they said. We will wipe out Islam completely. Wipe it out. There will be no Muslims. In fact, they were laughing when all the children of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam passed away. Some of them were saying that we don't even need to do nothing. There is no one who is there to succeed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But see what is happening, my respected brothers and elders. Allahu Akbar. How Allah works. Allah works, subhanallah, and his qudrat is very, very ajeeb. So when he came into Makkah Mukarrama, he stood at the doorstep of the Kaaba, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew how to speak to the people. He would give beautiful examples. And so this time he looked at them from one side to another side and he said to them, what are you people expecting from me? What a start. What did he say? What are you people expecting from me? Subhanallah. These were the people who were the reason why his daughter passed away. His companions were made shaheed. And so what are you expecting now from me? So they said that we know you to be our noble brother from the Quraysh. And you are the son of our noble brother, Abdullah, and the family of Abu Talib. So you are from amongst the nobles. Our fate is in your hands. What did they say? Our fate is in your hands. Whatever you decide, our fate is in your hands. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time read the verse of Surah Yusuf. And he said to the people of Makkah, today I will give you an answer, the same answer that was given by my brother Yusuf to his brothers. And he said, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no blame on you people today also, I forgive you. The same thing what Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam said, Allah's Nabi also used the same words. La tathriba alaykumul yawm. There is no blame upon you people today. And that I forgive you completely and totally. They were amazed and they were shocked. And I always say this, that enemy number one at that time was Abu Sufyan. And Abu Sufyan should have been hunted for. But subhanallah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the contrary, what he said, Man dakhala dara Abi Sufyan fahuwa amin. Never mind taking a revenge to Abu Sufyan, he said, anyone who enters the house of Abu Sufyan is given amnesty, is given aman, refuge. And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with Abu Sufyan in this manner, it forced him to utter the kalima and to embrace Islam. How amazing is that, my respected brothers and elders? Allahu Akbar Kabira. Sometimes your character, sometimes your decision will have an impact upon you. Subhanallah. Muslims are, alhamdulillah, people who have iman and people who understand what is right and what is wrong. Today, a lady before Jumu'ah had embraced Islam, alhamdulillah, and she was an Anglican Christian, practicing Christian, and she had many questions. But then she said something also, alhamdulillah, she said that, I have seen around me that the Muslims were people who never cheated. Muslims were people who were well behaved. They would not drink. They would not drink alcohol. They would not swear openly. But the people around me who were non-Muslims, they were very abusive. They would swear. They had no discipline in their life. And when I looked at the Muslims and when I looked at the non-Muslims, I felt in my heart that the religion that I need to follow is Islam. And that is when I started to look into Islam to see what this religion is. This religion is about discipline, about halal and about haram. That this is what you can do and this is what you can't do. This is what we call discipline. And discipline will give you results. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave them. So la tathriba alaykum al-yawm. So we should practice this. If your wife has done something wrong, and if you say to her, I forgive you, mean it. Okay, forget it. Now, never taunt her in your life about this. And if your husband has done something wrong, for the mothers listening at home, that if he has done something wrong and if you say, okay, I forgive you, mean it. And also for the children here, when you ask for forgiveness, make sure that you forget everything of the past, because your heart should be very, very clean. This action is a very great action, that a person in his heart does not hold any grudge for the people of Iman. This is a very powerful quality inside a human being. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. In the next verse, before we go into that verse, verse number 93, it seems that there must have been some conversation now between the brothers, Yusuf alayhi salam and the brothers, looking into how the Quran has put in front of us the verses. It must be that Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam asked the brothers, tell me how is my father? Tell me how is my father? Obviously, remember that we are going through the story, so we know exactly what is happening. But Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam kept it quiet. And he did not know actually the condition of Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam as such. He couldn't say to them, tell me exactly what is happening to your father, but now he can. So he must have spoken out to them, tell me what is the condition of our father. So the sons gave him an answer that our father is very, very weak. He is old, and due to his weakness, that has also affected his sight. That has affected his sight. Possibly, you know, Nabi is someone who cries a lot, and this separation sometimes that he is missing his son Yusuf alayhi salam, who is also a Nabi. And so now he was blind, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam. Remember, one is the physical blindness that can be accepted. And you will find when you read the translations of the English Quran, you have to be also very careful. Here, Muhammad Yusuf Ali has translated, and in his tafsir, he has made some mistakes by saying that Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam had received his physical vision, and also mentally he regained back his mental abilities. This is very, very wrong to speak about a Nabi. A Nabi is always, alhamdulillah, active in his mind, and he is connected to revelation, and he never ever makes a mistake in his thinking. Whatever he says, it is revelation. But because Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam are human beings, then they are affected by the weaknesses that we suffer. Sometimes you have a headache, sometimes you might be injured. Death comes to every Nabi. So a Nabi can also be blind. There were prophets who were murdered, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, Hazrat Yahya, Zakariya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And so he must have inquired. And when he heard that the father is in this condition, now what does Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam say to the brothers? He says, اِذْهَبُوا بِقَمِيسِ هَذَا. That look, take my kurta, take my qamis, and take this with you, فَأَلْقُوهُ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ أَبِي, and put this on the face of my father. يَأْتِ بَصِيرًا, and inshallah, the sight will return back. The sight will return back. Now, how is this possible that he is so confident that if I give my kurta to my brothers, to my qamis that is given, then the sight will return back? Scholars have mentioned that this is the mu'jiza, the miracle of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Miracles were given to the messengers, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And that is why it also comes in the hadith that there was one sahabi who was blind. And he came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Nabi of Allah, blindness is very difficult for me and I am suffering. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with his fingers, he put it in the mouth and he took out some saliva, auspicious saliva, and he placed the saliva towards the top part of the eye here. And by doing that, immediately sight was given back. Sight was restored. This is also the mu'jiza and the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so scholars say that this was a mu'jiza. Another mufassir whose name is Imam al-Dhahhak, He says that this qamis was a special qamis. Was a special qamis. The fabric of this qamis material, this shirt, was made in Jannah. Where was it made? In Jannah. Now, any item that is made in Jannah, the effects of anything from Jannah is that it will always heal you. It will always cure you. Anything that is from Jannah. That is why in Jannah there is no sickness. A person will never feel ill. He will never be ill. Waha doctors ka profession nahi chalega. Maulvi honge, doctors nahi honge. Ulama you will need. Why you will need ulama? Because there will be a lot of questions. Even there you will want guidance and you'll ask. And then the ulama will be there. But no doctors, no dentists, no problem. Subhanallah. No sickness. No chemists, nothing. And so, these are the effects of all the items that are from Jannah. That is why, when you kiss the black stone, the immediate effect of kissing the black stone is that it deletes your sins. What does it do? How does it benefit you? It wipes out your guna. So this black stone was a white stone. But since that time people have been kissing it and it has taken inside the sins of people. And so now it is black. But this black stone, Hajar-e Aswad, is also a stone that comes from Jannah. Maqam-e Ibrahim, that stone is also from Jannah. Zamzam, where is Zamzam from? Where from? Yes, but it is connected to Jannah. Umar Sahib, it's from here, but connected where? The pipeline is where? Jannah. That is where the pipeline is. That is why Zamzam is Shifa. Because anything from Jannah, instant healing. Zamzam, when you drink, there is also Shifa to it. Subhanallah al-Azim. And you see that. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's organs were washed with the water of Zamzam. That is how, subhanallah, that is the virtue of this water. There's water of Kausar. There are many, alhamdulillah, rivers of Jannah. But nothing is like Zamzam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Zamzam to this ummah as a gift. And something else that we need to understand is complete healing and shifa is the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every one of us from this earthly material, from this earth. The mold is of this earth. As for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is created from the soil of Jannatul Firdaus. That is why any part of Nabi is only a healing and shifa. Any part. Whether it is the blood of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is pure. And literally, maybe the mind cannot understand something that comes out from you and I is considered as impure. But nothing that comes out from a Nabi is considered impure because entirely from his soul to his body, these are the ingredients is made of Jannah. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's body was always with fragrance. Scented. So if there was saliva that he put in the mouth of somebody, that was shifa. And so understand it. Anything that is connected to Jannah, instantly it gives you shifa. So this material, this qamis also was from Jannah. Subhanallah. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, those who were ill, they would come to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Hazrat Aisha had the kurta of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All she did was dab one portion of the sleeve of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a bowl that was filled with water, and she would wet the sleeves of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in that water and give it to that person who was sick to drink, and instantly he was given shifa. Unless, of course, death was decreed for that person. But generally, shifa was given. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha did this. That is why a lot of the Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'een, when they passed away, they made wasiyah that certain parts belonging to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be buried with them in their grave. Now, this is only possible with the companions, because directly this was a gift or something that belonged to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam given to the Sahaba. That is why Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, when he passed away, he said to his student that open my mouth and place the hair of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam under my tongue. Place it under my tongue. And that is how I want to be buried. Subhanallah al-Azim. And some had taken the kurta, a part of the kurta of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so we need to understand, my respected brothers and elders, that this qamis was a special qamis. And Imam Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi has also given us detailed information of this kurta. He says that there is a history with this shirt. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown in the fire, Namrud, what had happened, had taken his shirt away from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was thrown into the fire. When he was thrown into the fire became a place of comfort and ease for him, but a kurta was brought down from him by Jibreel. And so this kurta was given as a gift to Ibrahim alayhi salam from Jibreel, and this kurta is the kurta from Jannah. Kurta from Jannah. That is why on the day of Qiyamah, when people come out from their graves, will they be wearing a kurta? What will they be wearing? Huh? Nothing. Totally naked. But they won't even look at each other. The day will be like that. They won't even, the mind will not even drift in that direction that that person is naked. But in honor of the pious people, imagine Anbiya, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, the first person to be given clothes from Jannah is my father, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So this does not mean that Allah's Nabi, his honor, is any less. This is ikram that he is showing to his father. Ikram showing to his father. So it won't be that clothes will be given to Ibrahim alayhi salam, also to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this qamis was given to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When he passed away, he gave this kurta to his son Ishaq alayhi salam. When Ishaq alayhi salam passed away, he gave this kurta to his son Yaqub. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was holding this amanat. When the brothers took Yusuf with them, do you remember? When they took him with them, at that time the father said to Yusuf that when you are traveling, I am also giving you an amanat, look after this. And Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam had given this kurta to him. When they threw him in the well, at that time Jibreel Amin came down and said to Yusuf alayhi salam that wear the kurta that your father gave you, which is an amanat. And Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam then understood that this kurta is a kurta that is very, very special. And he kept that kurta, that qamis with him. And so now he knew that this is the kurta that my father had given me. So he knew as a Nabi, and he said to his brothers that when you go, I can't go because he was the head of Egypt. It would be very difficult for him to go. So he said to the brothers that you go, but when you go, the first thing what you do is you put the kurta on the face of my father, and that will heal him completely. And wa'tuni bi ahlikum ajma'in, and come to me and bring our entire family that we should all live together. So this was the message that Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam had given to his brothers. Then the Quran says, walamma fasalati al-eer, when the caravan, the convoy departed, Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam wanted to show so much adab and respect to his father that he had dispatched 200 people in honor to receive his father in Canaan, so that when he comes back, all the comfort and ease is given to him. 200 people as ikram to meet his father. That is, of course, not the brothers. These were the people who were the elite with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. 200 people. Now, as the caravan was about to leave Egypt, where is the father? In Canaan. Yusuf alayhi salam is in Egypt. The Quran is saying, here, this group is departing now. This caravan has departed and it's embarking on its journey. The father in Canaan, he is saying to the people that are there, قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ, and Yaqub alayhi salam says to the people, obviously it was not the sons, there were other extended family friends that were there. قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ, and the father said, إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفْ. You know what, I can actually sense the fragrance of my son Yusuf. لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ, if you people don't think or don't call me that I am senile. You know, when a person is old, then sometimes people feel that because he is aged, he's saying a lot of things that don't make sense. So don't call me senile. I fear that you might think that I'm getting old and I'm speaking like that. No. But I can smell the fragrance of my son, Yusuf. Now, the people that were there, you know how they responded? قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. They said, by Allah, most certainly, you are still dwelling in your past misunderstanding. You are still dwelling in your past misunderstandings. This is your misunderstanding. Where is Yusuf? This is what they said. Now, isn't it amazing, my respected brothers and elders? Think about this. Once upon a time, the brothers had taken Yusuf, and Yusuf was thrown in a well which was only 10 miles away from his residence. How many miles away? Only 10 miles away from Yaqub alayhi salam, but he could not sense the fragrance. He did not know where my son is. But when his son is 250 miles away, how many miles away? Egypt. 250 miles away, he is saying, I can smell Yusuf alayhi salam. But when he was in the well, he couldn't. Now he can. What is this telling us? What are the morals that we learn from the Quran? The Quran is teaching us that ilme ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen, is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody should think that because a Nabi is a Nabi, that his knowledge is so vast that his knowledge is such that he knows everything of the unseen. No, no. Allamul Ghuyub is only Allah. Knowledge that is given to a Nabi is only via revelation. Only via revelation. That is all. That is why in Kan'an, the well of Kan'an, he did not know. But 250 miles now, Allah opened to him and he said, now I can smell the fragrance of my son Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. And this is also the case with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His knowledge is the greatest knowledge, but it is nothing compared. We can't even say this and we can't even compare with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you find certain people who have issues in their aqeedah. So your aqeedah should be well understood that even a Nabi, he is not alim-e-ghayb. A Nabi is not alim-e-ghayb. And the dalil of that, there are, you know, many such proofs. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the story of Ifk, the necklace that was lost. And the munafiqeen had put false allegations on Hazrat Aisha, the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi was quiet. He did not give his decision. Had he known ilm-e-ghayb, he would have said immediately that these are the hypocrites, all of them are liars. I know this is not the case. But he didn't say that. Until after 1 month, Allah informed him that this is false allegation, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up and spoke out to the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. But at times you will find Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave such information which was top secret and very, very discreet. He said to Hazrat Ali, go to the garden of Karkh, of Gharq, and there you will find the lady that is about to depart to go to Makkah. She is carrying the letter of Hatib, who has informed, who is giving some information to the leaders of Makkah. So bring that letter back. Now who knew? Nobody knows about this. This is a letter. And she hid the letter in such a way that nobody could find this letter. And so when Hazrat Ali came, Hazrat Ali said, give me the letter. She said, what letter? He says, the letter I know because Allah's Nabi has said it. When he says it, it is with you. And she says, no. Hazrat Ali warned her, look, do you want me to strip you naked and get this letter out from you? She had haya. She goes, no, no, no. And she took it out from the hair and she gave that letter to Hazrat Ali. Now nobody knew of that, but Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave information. In the battle of Muta, Allah's Nabi was in Medina Munawwara and he is saying, Zaid has become shaheed now. And then he said, Ja'far has become shaheed now. And then he had tears in the eyes and he says, now I see Abdullah ibn Rawaha becoming shaheed. He is in Medina. And now he is talking about the battle of Muta. That all three have become shaheed. Allahu Akbar. In his last days, at the time of Sakarat, as one would say, in the last days, Allah's Nabi is saying that Firoz Daylami has been successful in his mission and he has taken out Aswad-e-Anasi, who claimed to be the Prophet. Firoz Daylami has completed his mission, who went out against who? Aswad-e-Anasi. Aswad-e-Anasi was a man who made a claim to prophethood. How did he know? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was breathing his last and he gave information. At times Allah's Nabi was in Medina Munawwara and he said to all the companions, get together, we are going to pray the janazah namaz. Why? The king of Abyssinia, Habasha, has died. So all of this, there is no contradiction. The ilm-e-ghayb that a Nabi gives is through revelation, But one cannot say that complete 100% every kind of knowledge of the unseen is with a Nabi. That is only the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Yaqub alayhi salam couldn't detect his son 10 miles away from him, but he starts to detect 250 miles away from him. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue in our next session. Just for a few minutes, inshallah, if we can do muraqabah. And just one announcement. Brothers, inshallah, next Friday, we are very honored that Maulana Abdul Rahim Saab Limbada, who is a well-known scholar, a well-renowned scholar, speaks in English, a muhaddis for 30 years, and ustaz in hadith and tafsir. In fact, Sheikh has written his entire tafsir of Surah Yusuf also in English. So a great scholar, alhamdulillah, he is coming to Leicester Thursday. From Thursday to Saturday, he will be in Leicester. There are many masajids that are hosting his program also. Alhamdulillah, we have been given the opportunity that he will be talking to us next week, Friday, inshallah. So Friday, the dars will be given by Sheikh Abdul Rahim Saab. So can I request all the brothers, mashallah, do come. And don't think that, subhanallah, it's somebody else, so let's not come. We are sitting here for the pleasure of Allah. We are sitting here for the pleasure of Allah. A great man, a great wali of Allah, a muhaddis, when they speak, alhamdulillah, there is great barakat. So do inform people and do come, inshallah, it will be of great benefit. That will be our next session next week, a program by Maulana Abdul Rahim Saab, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah, if you can close your eyes for a few minutes and do muraqabah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk sami'na wa atwana gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.